I'm Arlene Westroff, and welcome to the Prophesy Impact Podcast, the podcast for those who want more of walking out your calling with God, more of knowing His ways through you hearing His voice, and more of Him being able to use you to impact your world. Now, the teachings on the Prophesy Impact Podcast are designed to give you a unique perspective about the times we're living in and about what you need to do so that you can position yourself for impact. Now, if you haven't done it already yet, I'd really like to invite you to subscribe to my Arlene Westroff YouTube channel. There I've got more encouraging content that will build you up. And for those of you who want to see more impact through your life in 2021, I've written an important prophetic word that you can download free from my website, arlenewesterhoff.com/2021. But I've also got big news, and that is that at the end of this year, I'll be starting a mentorship program, especially for those of you who want to see transformation come. And so if you'd like to be kept up to date on the happenings and the preparations about that English language mentoring program, then you can also go to the same webpage, arlenewesterhoff.com/2021. And if you leave your name and your email address, then I'll be able to keep you up to date as to the developments and what's happening. Now, last week, I spoke about a thorny issue in the body of Christ. It's an issue that holds so many of us back from walking in the fullness of our callings, but it just doesn't hold us back as individuals. It holds businesses back, ministries back, literally everything. And it was about the influence of Baal in our modern day church culture. Last week, I also described how this works in our own lives, in society, among God's people, and even in churches. Now, in order to deal with the influence of Baal in our lives, we've got to be able to get rid of our victim mentalities. Another way of saying that is we've got to be able to recognize and to deal with a slave mentality in our thinking and in our hearts. In Israel's history, they were led out of Egypt by the Lord after they'd been there for 400 years as slaves. And they may have come out of Egypt, but it took a lot for God to get that slave mentality out of them. Why is it so important that we deal with this kind of mentality in order to avoid coming under the influence of Baal? It's because when we think of ourselves as victims, we don't accept responsibility for our own actions, and we put ourselves before everybody else. And like I said last week, the influence of Baal in our cultures causes us to think of ourselves as number one and everybody else afterwards. And that is not something that pleases God's heart. And worse yet, it will completely short-circuit our callings. And so in order to deal with that slave mentality in his people, Israel, God needed to build into themselves an understanding of them as a people. And this meant that they needed to learn to live for the sake of the tribe rather than just for themselves as individuals. Also, God needed to instill in them a firm dependence upon Him. Nothing could grow in the desert, and it was impossible for a million plus people to survive without Him in the desert, and that is how He did it. He used the wilderness to do that. Today, however, we're going to talk about an offshoot of this that is also able to short-circuit our callings massively in the sense that it will destroy our legacies. And that is spiritual pride. And spiritual pride can manifest itself in a way that many of us haven't really thought about before. And if we're not aware of it, it can do damage. And so that's why I'm going to talk about it today. But before I do, I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are with us today. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, through the words, Lord, that you have given me for this podcast today. Speak to our hearts. Lord, speak through your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us to be able to recognize the areas in our lives where there may be spiritual pride that we didn't even know about. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to illustrate how spiritual pride works, I'm going to use the example of Hezekiah. He was a godly king. He was a reformer, if there ever was one. This podcast is called Prophesy Impact because we want to see you do great and mighty deeds in the name of Jesus to see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And if anyone saw that in his time, it was Hezekiah. Hezekiah purged the land of idolatry. He repaired the temple. He restored proper worship, and he observed the Passover with the entire nation for the first time in hundreds of years. Not only did Hezekiah lead the nation in spiritual reform, but he was also a powerful military leader. And Hezekiah saw one of the most powerful deliverances of God for the nation from their enemies in the entire Bible. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were killed overnight by a destroying angel sent from God. That is amazing. Many of us can only dream of that kind of stuff, but Hezekiah saw this kind of amazing national miracle with his own eyes. Hezekiah was, in fact, one of the most godly kings that Judah ever had. However, Hezekiah's life also shows us that it is possible for us to remain loyal in our love for the Lord, but still miss his highest purposes for our lives. And so that's why we're talking about this today. In Isaiah chapter 38, you know, verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'" Now, many of us, we know the story. Hezekiah, after Isaiah spoke out this prophecy, he turned with his face to the wall on his bed and he wept bitterly, the scriptures say. And God saw him and had compassion on him. And God sent Isaiah back to Hezekiah to say, "All right, I will give you 15 extra years. I'm going to lengthen your life by 15 years. Anyway, Hezekiah essentially is healed, and God raises him back up to full health and strength. And shortly after Hezekiah recovers, we see Isaiah chapter 39. And we're going to talk about this because this is where things happen that actually have a negative impact, not just for Hezekiah, but for the whole nation of Judah. Isaiah chapter 39, I'm starting at verse 1. "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he had heard that he had been sick and had recovered. Hezekiah was pleased with them, and he showed them the house of his treasures, the silver, the gold, the spices, the precious ointment, and all of his armory, all that was found among his treasures. And the scriptures say there was nothing in Hezekiah's house or in all of his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. And then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and he said to him, 'What did these men say and from where did they come to you?' And so Hezekiah said to Isaiah, 'They came to me from a far country, from Babylon.' And Isaiah said, 'And what have they seen in your house?' And so Hezekiah answered, 'They've seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them.'" And in verse 5, Isaiah says to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts." And this is tragic now. "Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And in verse 8, Hezekiah says to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. You know what? I look at this and I just say, this is a tragic moment in the history of God's people. God had, or at least, let's just say God had healed Hezekiah, but Hezekiah had been tested by the fires of illness. God had allowed this to happen. Why? To create a dependence upon him. And God had healed Hezekiah when Hezekiah asked for this. But instead of Hezekiah displaying dependence upon God, in Isaiah chapter 39, pride began to manifest in Hezekiah's heart. If we look at this, you know, the story, I'm just going to give you some context to help you to understand it better. Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, the king of Babylon, you know, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. At the time that this story took place, the Assyrian Empire was the mightiest empire on the earth. And at that time, Babylon was looking for a way to defeat Assyria. And the king of Babylon had heard about the mighty acts and the great deliverance that God did in delivering Hezekiah and the nation of Judah from the hands of the Assyrians. And so when he heard that Hezekiah had been ill and recovered, he sent his envoys to them. Why? Because he was looking to make a treaty with Judah to be able to withstand the Syrian onslaught. Anyway, Hezekiah received the envoys and the gifts, and Hezekiah, it says, was pleased with them. And I can imagine now, you know, that Hezekiah might have thought in his heart, you know, this is the king of Babylon, also a powerful king, and he's sending me gifts. He's sending his envoys to me. He wants to get to know me better. I can imagine that Hezekiah may have thought that. And that may have gone to his head. And so what did Hezekiah do? Before consulting the Lord, he showed these people every single thing in his dominion. There was not one thing, Isaiah 39 says, that he did not show them. And that's when Isaiah the prophet confronts Hezekiah. And Isaiah says, hear the word of the Lord of the hosts. Days are coming when all your house and what your fathers have accumulated to this day shall be carried to Babylon, and nothing shall be left. Hezekiah had failed to depend on the Lord by praying before showing these envoys everything in his kingdom. And Isaiah goes further and talks about Hezekiah's sons being taken into exile. And then these are probably some of the most tragic words in history. Isaiah chapter 39, verse 8, Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. You know what? When I read this, I just thought, huh? This great reformer, this man of God, you know, what happened that he didn't even pray and ask for God's mercy when Isaiah spoke out this prophecy? That is just unreal as far as I'm concerned. But already we start to see elements of, you know, just obsession with self and elements of spiritual pride in Hezekiah's heart. And why do I say that? It's because when Isaiah told Hezekiah to get his house in order, we read that Hezekiah turned on his side and he wept bitterly and he cried out to God. But when God, and so God heard him and saved his life, extended his life. But when Isaiah pronounces judgment on Hezekiah, but he says it won't affect you, but it will affect your descendants, your kingdom, Hezekiah doesn't do that. What does he do? He says, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. This story illustrates a number of key principles that we have to understand in the day and the age that we are living in. First of all, miracles, signs, and wonders, seeing those things and witnessing them do not mean or does not mean that we actually know the God behind the miracles, signs, and wonders. interestingly enough, in the New Testament, after Jesus had fed the 5,000, with the loaves and the fishes, many, many started to follow him, huge crowds. And Jesus turned around and he looked at them and he said, "You know what?" He said, "You're not following me because you believe in me. You're following me because I fed you." And so that is something that we've got to keep in mind, especially as our nations start to move into what I believe will be the greatest revival and awakening in the history of our planet. Yes, there will be signs. Yes, there will be wonders. Yes, there will be miracles. But we should never confuse the fact that people follow because of the signs, wonders, and miracles with them actually getting to know the Christ behind those signs, wonders, and miracles, really, in their hearts. They may pray and give their hearts to Christ, but if we do not disciple people appropriately, then it will just remain shallow. Anyway, that is one of the things that it shows. Another thing that it shows is that even though we may do great miracles and exploits for God, and if anybody did those things, it was certainly Hezekiah, even though we may be able to see an entire nation shift and return to God, if we are not on guard, spiritual pride will eventually take over. We've got to be alert for this in this time. And what was Hezekiah's legacy? When I say we've got to be so alert for this, it's because why, once again, we've got to be alert for spiritual pride at this time. Why do I say that? It's because spiritual pride actually destroyed the legacy that Hezekiah left behind. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 31, we can read, "However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him," that's to Hezekiah, "to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart." Can you imagine? This is what happened here. God withdrew the spirit from him in order to test Hezekiah. So God knew that those envoys had been sent to Hezekiah. God knew that they were visiting him, and he knew why they were visiting. But God withdrew from him just for a moment to test him so that he would know what was in his heart. Now, often, you know, some of you listening would say, "Yeah, but God knows everything. Didn't God already know what was in Hezekiah's heart?" I believe he did, but God gave Hezekiah a chance actually to change, to reveal what was in his heart. And Hezekiah failed the test. Now, Hezekiah's story is one of spiritual pride. And you might say, you know, this would never happen to me. But one of the main symptoms of spiritual pride is a sincere decision, you know, that we make a sincere decision in our hearts without consulting the Lord. That is one of the main symptoms of spiritual pride. And you know what? As we go into this time of revival and reformation, we're going to have to be very, very aware of this, that we cannot, you know, rely on our own common sense. I spoke this past week, you know, just in our own church service. And as I spoke, you know, God was talking to me about this very text. And one of the things that he said to me was that man's common sense, even though we mean well, our common sense will never produce the righteousness of Christ. And how do I know that? It's because when Jesus started to talk to his disciples about the fact that he would be crucified, he was going to be crucified, Peter, out of passionate love, sincere love for Christ, he looked at Christ and he said, "Lord, that will never happen." And what did Jesus say? He said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, because you do not have the things of God in mind, but the things of men." And so indeed, Making a sincere decision without consulting God is a sign of spiritual pride. And we are living in a day, in an age right now where we cannot afford not to consult God about everything. This is not being hyper-spiritual. This is just being mature in Christ. Why do I say that Hezekiah's decision actually to not pray and to leave things alone actually destroyed his legacy? It was because in 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31, we see that once again, I'm just going to go back. In 2 Chronicles 32, verse 31, as we mentioned, we see that the envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon to ask him, and God used that for a test. Jesus himself said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And so, you know what? It's not only not hyper-spiritual to consult the Lord about everything, but even Jesus was so totally dependent on his Father that he was able to say that, I only do what I see the Father doing. God wants us today to lose our confidence in our common sense and to depend totally and completely upon him for every area of our lives. This test was designed to reveal what was in Hezekiah's heart. What was the fruit of Hezekiah's spiritual pride? The fruit was his son Manasseh. Manasseh is recorded in history as being the most ungodly king in Judah's history. And that is saying an awful lot. One of the reasons why Hezekiah cried out so bitterly to God when Isaiah told him that he wasn't going to die was because he had no heir. He had no son to follow him up on the throne. And so after Hezekiah recovered, his wife conceived and Manasseh was born. But Manasseh was so wicked that God said in Jeremiah 15, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, and my mind would not be favorable towards this people, cast them out of my sight and let them go forth, I will hand them over to trouble, to all of the kingdoms of the earth, because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, for what he did in Jerusalem. Hezekiah may have been a righteous king, but his son is recorded as being the most ungodly king that the nation ever had. How could that happen? It was because of spiritual pride, which caused Hezekiah to become self-focused and only self-interested. He didn't care about the next generation. And that is a major, major lesson for us. One of the things that it means to have impact with our lives is that we leave behind an inheritance, a godly inheritance for our children's children. Hezekiah was willing to plead desperately with God for his own healing, but he didn't do that for the future generations. And as a result, it led to the total destruction of Judah. And so as I conclude, there are a number of lessons. I'm just going to summarize again just a few things that I've said, because it's so important that we understand these things, I believe, in this time of revival and reformation and awakening that we have entered. First lesson is we can see the amazing miracles of God, but still miss the mark. Many want revival and miracles so that people will come to Christ. However, even Jesus said to the masses, you don't follow me because you believe. We really have to not make, we really have to be sure that we do not confuse the two. Second lesson is that we and only we are able to choose to allow God to weed not only self-centeredness, but also spiritual pride out of our hearts. And how does he do this? Through his processes in our lives. Why didn't sickness have the effect that God wanted it to have in Hezekiah's life? It was probably, I hate to say it, but because the sickness, the time that Hezekiah was ill was so short. When God sends crisis and pressure our way, we must persevere in patience and let his love do its perfect work in us in the midst of the fire. And finally, 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 we are living in a day and an age where it doesn't matter how smart you are, we have to trust God and pray for all of the decisions, the big ones, even the small ones that we make. Why? Because the enemy is walking about now like a roaring lion, seeking those who he may devour. And God's word to us today is that he wants to bless us, but he wants to bless others through us and the generations to come. And so with this, I just say bless you and thank you for joining me today on the Prophesy Impact Podcast. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that you would just give each one of us the courage to allow you to continue to do your work in us, Father, as we, Lord, just stand in the fire. Lord, help us not to get out of the fire quickly, but Lord, help us to remain in there and to be able to have the courage to display patience as you work in us. And Father, I pray that everyone listening today, Lord, that their inheritances, their legacies would not be lost, but would be multiplied for the next generations, God, in Jesus' name. Whatever stage of life you're at in right, once again, whatever stage of life you're at right now, there is more. It's God's time for you, and it's God's time to prophesy impact. Now, if you've enjoyed today's show, I'm just going to ask you, please take the time to subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. And finally, don't forget to order my book if you haven't already done it, Impact, Prophesy, and Change the World. It's available on Amazon.